Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Susan Shand, Kelly Jean Kelly, and Brian Lynn. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Susan Shand.
The U.S. is angry about a World Trade Organization decision that could allow China to place economic restrictions on the United States. The case is not related to President Donald Trump's recent tariffs against China. Instead, it dates back to 2007. At that time, Chinese officials came to the WTO to stop U.S. tariffs on some Chinese exports, including solar panels and wind towers. The exports were then valued at nearly $7.3 billion. In one way, WTO officials agreed with U.S. officials' argument. The Americans charged that some Chinese state-owned companies help private Chinese companies by providing products at unfairly low prices. However, the WTO decision also found the U.S. did not put the right amount of tariffs on Chinese goods as punishment for the subsidies. As a result, the WTO said the Americans must adjust their tariffs or accept Chinese sanctions in return. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, USTR, said Tuesday that it was pleased by the first part of the ruling. It did not, however, agree with the second decision. The USTR said the decision undermines WTO rules. It added that China's state-owned businesses are harming U.S. workers and creating problems with markets around the world. It also said it will take all necessary steps to ensure a level playing field with China. Separately, European Union Trade Chief Cecilia Malmström commented on the WTO's appellate court on Tuesday. She said it could collapse for a short time in 2019 because the U.S. opposes the nomination of its judges. U.S. President Donald Trump has blocked nominations to the 7-member court. He has accused judges of taking too much power and ignoring their own rules. The block is not expected to be lifted anytime soon. If it is not, the court could be cut to one judge by December 11th. With only one judge, the WTO's appeals court would not be able to hear new cases. I'm Susan Shand.
Hundreds of people on the island of Hawaii are demonstrating this week against building a telescope on the top of the mountain Mauna Kea. The protesters say the land at the top of the mountain is holy, scientists say it is perfect for a huge telescope that will help them answer basic questions about the universe. This week's demonstrations came after state officials said they would close the road to the top of Mauna Kea. Workers planned to use the road to start bringing construction equipment for the telescope. As a result, a group of protesters began blocking the road early Monday morning. Some elders sat on chairs and tied themselves together with rope. Other protesters lay on the ground and chained themselves to metal bars. They stayed until police went home in the afternoon. No one was arrested. Work on the telescope did not begin. One activist said, "Lying on the road for 11 hours was difficult. It was so cold at 4 o'clock in the morning," said Walter Reety. "It was a test of our fortitude. This mountain is like our last stand." While the protesters blocked the road, officials put up barriers to keep them safe from speeding cars. The Honolulu Star-Advertiser newspaper reported that government officials spoke about keeping the situation peaceful. Some asked the public to drive with aloha in the area, the newspaper reported. Mayor Harry Kim said in a statement, "We are all ohana of this island community." Ohana means family. The project has been approved by the state's Supreme Court, and the state has said the company behind the telescope can begin building. The company is made up of a group of universities in California and Canada, with partners from China, India, and Japan. Protesters say they will continue objecting to the project. Their efforts have already delayed it for several years. Scholars note that ancient Hawaiians consider the mountaintop kapu, or forbidden. Only the highest-ranking chiefs were permitted to climb to Mauna Kea's summit, above the clouds. Today, the land belongs to the state government. It leases the area to the University of Hawaii for telescopes and observatories. The proposed telescope would have a mirror 30 meters across, making it the largest telescope of its kind in the world. It is expected to cost $1.4 billion to build. Supporters of the new telescope say the instrument will not only make important scientific discoveries, it will also bring educational and economic opportunities to Hawaii. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
The need to store more and more computer information is rising across the world. Several companies now say they are exploring a possible solution. They propose using genetic material, DNA, to store data. The technology research company International Data Corporation, or IDC, has predicted a huge increase in total worldwide data in the coming years. IDC estimated this growth in measurements of zettabytes. A zettabyte is equal to 1 billion terabytes, another measure of computer information storage. It would take 1 billion 1 terabyte hard drives to hold 1 zettabyte. IDC predicted world data demand will grow from 33 zettabytes in 2018 to 175 zettabytes by 2025. Such growth is expected to create a big need to increase data storage in the future. A recent World Economic Forum report predicted that the world is about to have a serious data storage problem that will only become more severe over time. DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid. It is the substance that carries genetic information in the cells of living things. Developers say one of the main reasons DNA would be good for data storage is because of its great density. Experts have estimated DNA systems could store 1 billion times the amount of data held in traditional electronic devices of comparable size. Information about living things is stored in DNA using 4 different kinds of molecules. They can be represented by the letter codes A, T, C, and G. Researchers have discovered that data can also be stored within DNA in the sequences of these letters. Electronic devices, however, store information in a 2-letter code that produces combinations of ones and zeros. For DNA storage to succeed, digital information has to be converted to DNA storage and then back to digital data. One company working on DNA storage development is American software maker Microsoft. The company announced earlier this year that it had demonstrated the first fully automated DNA storage system. Researchers from Microsoft and the University of Washington discussed their results in a paper in Nature Scientific Reports. The research team reported it had successfully encoded the word hello in pieces of DNA and converted it back to digital data. A chemical process is used to get the DNA into a storage device. Microsoft said the information is stored in DNA molecules created in a laboratory, not DNA from humans or other living things. The company said its goal is to further develop the DNA storage to operate in a similar way to current cloud storage systems. Microsoft said not only can DNA storage systems store more data, they can hold data for much longer periods of time. For example, DNA samples from the ancient bones of animals and humans have proven that the material can last thousands of years in harsh conditions. Microsoft said the team had demonstrated its DNA system could store photographs, written documents, and audio and video material. Those materials were then successfully recollected from the DNA without errors, the company reported. Another U.S. company, Catalog, said it also has successfully created a process that uses artificial DNA to store digital information. The company recently announced that it had encoded the English version of the Wikipedia website into DNA molecules. The total amount of data was 16 gigabytes, Catalog said. The company said the process was completed using a DNA data writer that operates in a similar way to a printer. Experts from the World Economic Forum have praised recent developments in DNA storage technologies. But the organization says much more work needs to be completed before DNA storage systems can effectively compete with electronic ones. Currently, the systems are costly and processing times can be very long. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
America at its best matches a commitment to principle with a concern for civility.
Bush, the Republican nominee, defeated Vice President Al Gore, the Democratic candidate, in the presidential election of 2000. A dispute over the ballot count in Florida delayed the declaration of a winner and only added to political divisions in the country. The results in Florida were extremely close. 5 weeks passed as courts considered the issues. Finally, a conservative majority on the United States Supreme Court settled the matter. George Bush was to be president. Bush gave his inaugural speech on January 20th, 2001.
With a simple oath, we affirm old traditions and make new beginnings. As I begin, I thank President Clinton for his service to our nation. And I thank Vice President Gore for a contest conducted with spirit and ended with grace.
The new president spoke of American ideals.
The grandest of these ideals is an unfolding American promise that everyone belongs, that everyone deserves a chance, that no insignificant person was ever born.
And he called on Americans to care for and respect each other.
Today we affirm a new commitment to live out our nation's promise through civility, courage, compassion, and character. America at its best matches a commitment to principle with a concern for civility. A civil society demands from each of us goodwill and respect, fair dealing, and forgiveness.
Soon after his inauguration, President Bush established the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives. The goal was to fight problems like homelessness and drug abuse with the help of social agencies connected to religious groups. Critics argued that this could violate the separation of religion and government under the United States Constitution. But the president said the agencies would provide shelter and food, not Bibles. President Bush took several actions on the environment during his first term, two of which brought strong protests from environmentalists. In March 2001, he made the decision to reject the Kyoto Protocol. That international treaty sought reductions in the release of carbon dioxide and other industrial gases blamed for trapping heat in the atmosphere. Negotiators approved the treaty in Kyoto, Japan, at the end of 1997 to show their concern about climate change. Vice President Gore later signed the Kyoto Protocol for the United States. But President Bill Clinton never sent it to the Senate for its required approval. The treaty faced enough opposition in the Senate that it might have been defeated. President Bush decided to unsign the treaty. He said he did not want to put the United States at a competitive disadvantage with big developing countries like China and India. Those countries would not have been required to cut the large amounts of greenhouse gases they were producing. Bush said the agreement was unfair and would harm American industry at a time when the economy was weakening. Critics said the president's decision would harm the environment and set a bad example for the world. Another environmental issue concerned exploring for oil and natural gas. The president supported a measure to allow drilling in a wildlife refuge in the state of Alaska. He said doing so would reduce American dependence on foreign oil. Opponents argued that it would destroy wildlife in some of America's most beautiful natural surroundings. In the end, the environmentalists won. Congress did not approve the drilling.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
One of President Bush's major domestic goals was improving America's public education system.
Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring, goes the bell.
In January 2002, he signed legislation passed by Congress called the No Child Left Behind Act.
We owe the children of America a good education, and today begins a new era. A new time in public education in our country. As of this hour, America's schools will be on a new path of reform and a new path of results.
The law increased the role of the federal government in an area where Americans have traditionally defended local control, public education. No Child Left Behind had several goals. To help poor and minority students improve their performance, to provide choices for parents with students in low-performing schools, and to increase money for schools in low-income areas. The law required all students in grades 3 through 8 to be tested every year in reading and math. It held schools responsible for showing that all students were making progress based on standards chosen by the states themselves. No Child Left Behind had many supporters, but critics said the expectations were unreasonable and that teachers might just teach to the test. Another major piece of legislation dealt with health care for older Americans. President Bush wanted to extend Medicare, the nation's health insurance program, for people 65 and older.
For nearly four decades, Medicare has been the binding commitment of a caring society. We must renew that commitment by providing our seniors with the preventative care and new medicines that are transforming health care in our country. We must protect seniors from high medical costs that can rob them of their savings. And we must place patients and their doctors at the center of every healthcare decision. My goal is to give seniors more choices and better benefits under Medicare, including a long-awaited prescription drug benefit.
In 2003, he signed a law to help 40 million older Americans pay for their medicine. On another issue, he banned federal funding for research on any new stem cells taken from human embryos. But he agreed to allow the first federal spending on research on existing lines of embryonic stem cells. Such cells interest some medical researchers because they can grow into different kinds of cells. But opponents object, for moral and religious reasons, to destroying embryos for the purpose of harvesting stem cells. George Bush promised to cut taxes for Americans. In 2001, he signed a bill passed by Congress calling for more than $1 trillion in tax reductions over time. The president said the economy would improve if people had more money to spend. In 2003, Congress passed $350 billion in additional tax reductions. That was less than half of what the president had proposed. In 2002, President Bush signed a law that increased punishments for financial dishonesty by companies. The new law also established an independent group to oversee the accounting industry. The action came after several major companies failed, including, in 2001, Enron.
I got money wherever I go.
Enron had grown into America's leading energy company.
In the canyons of downtown Houston, home to the country's energy giants, a sense of gloom surrounds this one. Only months ago, it was the mightiest of them all. Now Enron answers the phone with this recorded message.
On December 2nd, Enron filed under Chapter 11 of the Bankruptcy Code, thus commencing proceedings to stabilize our financial situation.
It was at that time the largest bankruptcy in American history. 10,000 people lost their jobs. Some Enron investors lost all their money in the failure. Former employees lost the retirement benefits they needed to live on. Some top Enron officials were found to have used dishonest accounting methods to hide financial problems from investors. Enron's troubles also involved two large banks, Chase and Citigroup, and a big financial company, Merrill Lynch.
Enron couldn't have engaged in the deceptions it did without the help from a major financial institution. Merrill Lynch assisted Enron in cooking its books by pretending to purchase an existing Enron asset when it was really engaged in a loan.
Senator Carl Levin led a hearing into accounting and consulting practices and how they benefited Enron. Those actions included inflating the value of the company's stock. The collapse of Enron was followed by a series of other corporate failures linked to dishonest accounting methods. November 2, 2004 was Election Day. 4 years earlier, George W. Bush had been elected in one of the closest races in American history. Now he would have another chance to test his popularity with the American people.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.